looked everywhere. They're not here.
Weird.
Weird.
I guess they're off doing their own side episodes.
Well, fuck it. We'll just do you and me.
Are we having our own Lupin Ranger versus Patrick Ranger episode?
You know what? Fuck yeah! New roll call and everything! Cue the roll call!
Lupin, Sky Blue, Ichida Zazeel,
Patran Jusongo, Lay, Radio Sentai, Cast Ranger!
Welcome, everyone, to episode 186 of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
Hi, guys. So
it's just us.
Yeah, it's just...
If you didn't know that from listening to Extra already.
Yeah, and me searching for everyone else around the house.
Yeah.
So, oh, well.
So we're having a good old Ichi and Lane adventure tonight, since it's been a long time since we did that. So... This week on Cast Ranger, we are talking about Build Episodes 22 and 23, because last week we skipped 22 to talk about the 7 Best Matches special.
So strap in, motherfuckers. We're going to be having a long Build discussion. It's honestly, it won't be probably as long because it's just me and Ichi, but usually when we talk about like the main Riders series, it's usually me and Ichi talking the most anyway because we're like the most into it while like... Emily's just like, oh, I like Build. Build's cool. And Gar's kind of just like, I'm not in the mood for Toku this week or something. So he kind of just doesn't want to talk about it as much. But, like, you know, he does like Build, so.
Let me just put it this way.
How's that sparkling? Is that working
for you? Oh, it's good.
There you go.
So, yeah, in addition to that, we are obviously talking about Lupin Ranger versus Pouch Ranger Episode 2.
Yep.
And finishing off Precurary, even though Emily is not here.
We'll be talking about the first 2 episodes of the newest Precure series, Hugto Precure. So,
which apparently translates to Hugging Precure.
Yeah.
According to the subs we watch.
It's about careers and...
Hugging.
And hugs.
And babies.
Like, a fucking adorable-ass baby. And a hamster. With bling and earring and fluffy red hair.
This is just the most confusing shit ever to people who haven't seen it.
Yeah. It's cute, though. Anyways,
all right.
Let's make a boy! Be the one, we'll make a boy! Yeah! Because I noticed last week Anthony didn't use the right Build bumper.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, no, he didn't.
Oh,
Anthony!
Okay. Yeah.
You're supposed to use the We'll Make a Boy bumper from now on!
We'll
for shame!
We'll make a bump!
Oh, great. That's someone made Paul Blart Mall Cop into Exodia.
Now you mentioned it and I have to fucking show it.
Anthony's like, God damn it, Lane, shut the fuck up!
There it is.
Paul Blart, the forbidden cop. That's what it should say.
So, episode 22 starts with Stark doing the recap. And then he pats himself on the back for being such a good voice actor.
What's funny is I noticed though that like when he started talking, it was this like altered voice, but it didn't have like the
warble on it.
The warble on it. So it was just the VA,
yeah,
just like doing it. So I was like, it threw me off of it.
And then there was like a couple shots where like they showed his like helmet, and there were like comic-y effects around him.
Yeah,
that was interesting.
Yeah, and, like there's the one where he's like going Aniki.
Yeah.
God.
I miss
like,
that.
That's like one of the best Stark moments ever.
I miss shit starter Stark.
Well, when we find out, like, afterwards when you find out it's Soichi, you're just like, oh, no wonder Stark's such like a fucking
right?
playful little troll, because
right?
Soichi's also a playful little troll.
Yeah, I miss Soichi a little bit. So, episode 22 is basically the proxy battle.
It's literally, the entire episode is just the fight between Build and Grease. And it, like, lasts, apparently, like, throughout, like...
Hours.
Dusk until, like...
Midnight.
Like, middle of the night. So, like, they go at it for hours, and, like...
Giggity.
It's honestly kind of underwhelming for a fight, especially, like, on Grease's side, because, like, Grease doesn't have, like, other forms. So,
right?
Like, that's...
And he doesn't have all of the other bottles to accessorize.
Yeah, so, because, like, Stark kept them all to himself because he's a little shit.
No, he gave them all to Build, and he's just like, and here's a form, and here's a form, and here's a form.
Yeah, That's why Bill, like, going into this episode, I already knew Bill was going to have the upper hand regardless, because he has, like, the better forms and everything, and, like, he has more shit to do with his system. Grease can only do what he has, and uses one bottle, and that's it.
Like, I swear to God, when Bill goes roast copter, I just wanted Grease to shout out, "Hey, that's my favorite!"
Fuck you.
But yeah, he busts out Rosecopter, Tora UFO, Kujira Jet, and Kirin Cyclone.
And they're all fucking awesome. Like, Rosecopter, whatever, he, like, does, like, a new technique, and he's, like, spinning the blade, like, like, hovering with the rotor, and then he, like, hits Grease with it, and then hits him with, like, the whip, and then Tora UFO, he actually goes on, like, a UFO, and he, like, slashes with, like, a tiger head claw attack, and it's really cool, and
Kujira Jet just straight up shoots a bubble beam.
And then Kirin Cyclone literally just giant giraffe head. Just giant giraffe head.
Kirin Cyclone blows. Yes, I said the obvious joke.
It's actually a pretty cool form, though. I like it.
And then at one shot, he used the beetle bottle in the drill crusher while he was sparkling, so he did like a double Hisatsu.
Yeah, he did almost like a kind of like a Rider cutting kind of attack.
Yeah.
That was cool.
While this is happening, we get a flashback about Ryuga being angry that he's not doing the fight, and also Sento gives me Sora what I'm just referring to as the kill bottle.
Yeah, so, like, Sento, like, develops this bottle where it's, like, a kill switch for the hazard-triggered transformation. So it's, like, if you use this, like, if I'm go ballistic, like, it'll force the transformation off.
It literally explodes the hazard trigger and also kills him, apparently.
Yeah. And it was an emotional scene, too. Misora's just like, no, I don't want to fucking do this. Like, you can't make, I don't want to do this. I don't want to kill you.
Which is understandable. And my immediate thought was, did you not see how Nariaki yanked the trigger off your belt during your fucking montage? It is possible to come out of the trigger form, or hazard form.
Yeah. Which we see later. Like
Ryuga does it next episode. He fucking uses faucet handle to beam off the trigger.
Yeah. So, like, it was just to make, like, an intense, dramatic situation.
Sure.
And then we, Or no, that was...
So, we also get a lot of backstory on Grease, on Kazumi.
Yeah.
We find out that he did, in fact, fake his memory loss just so he could be all emotionally detached from everyone. Which means he's a Kiria-style character, the tragic liar.
Yeah, but, of course, we find out that the Hard Smashes, they know he's bullshitting.
Yeah.
They just kind of go along with it because, you know, for his sake, because they respect him so goddamn much.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. Like, Stark's even like, I can erase your actual memories for you if you want. He's like, no, I can do this.
He, in fact, responds with, let's not and say I did.
No, you know what? That's fair. And, like, it's interesting, too. So then, like, honestly, finding that out makes him, like, such a better character than
right?
he was. Because
We're having our third writer approach that echelon of good writing that many third writers recently have had.
It's a shame because, like, we know he's gonna fucking get the axe.
I don't know. After episode 23, I think they're pointing him more towards just joining up with them.
Yeah.
Because now they've all got to unite against Sento.
Yeah, but, like, in scans and stuff, Grease doesn't have any new power-ups or just have any new forms.
But then neither did Necrom, and he survived.
That's true. But we'll see. I honestly think he's gonna die. So.
I don't know. I think maybe they'll just have him use other bottles as weapons from now on.
I kind of hope Rogue fucks him up, honestly.
It's entirely possible.
Yeah.
One thing I will say about this proxy battle is, why was it necessary to have it take place on a very, very small arena that is very, very high up?
Yeah, and then there's the bullshit where, like, Belt is, like, I guess, he goes Belt has whatever like that, and then he, like, thinks he has control over it for a bit. So then, like, Sawa just immediately goes, oh, fuck, maybe I should go back and, like, get Ryuga or whatever. So we cut to Ryuga, and then Sawa's just there, and I'm like, you did not just fucking, like, get there within, like, a matter of a few minutes from that tower.
Was the arena, like, around the corner from the cafe?
Yeah, like, really, like, That's the one thing about this episode, sort of, was that there's no, like, concept of, like, time. Like I wish Sal would have been at least like, oh, like, he's been fighting in, like, Hazard for, like 20 minutes.
The only way that they address that is through subtle things, like when you actually notice that it's day or night.
Yeah.
Or very super liminal instances, like, and then a week passed.
Yeah. Well, there was a nice shot in this episode of, like, the sun going down, so that was a really cool, like, sunset. So
sun goes down.
Yep. Earth rotates.
But yeah, so...
So, of course, Sento, he loses, he goes, like, full, I just call it, like, kind of, like, overflow mode.
I think that's a safe thing to call it.
Yeah, so he goes overflow, and he just, like, proceeds to just open a can of whoop-ass on Grease, and it's fantastic to see. He goes Hawk Gatling Hazard.
Oh my god, Hawk Gatling Hazard is so awesome.
Yeah, like he spouts the wings
My biggest problem with the Hazard suit has been the rabbit tank eyes, because I don't think they look well at all, but Jesus Christ does Hawk Gatling Hazard fix that.
Mm.
I was expecting the wings to be black, but I'm actually very okay that they stayed orange.
Yeah, well, as I've said before, like, I like Bill Hazard with any of the best matches he uses, but then he, like, proceeds to do, like, an overflow Hazard attack, and he, like, raises his arm up with the Hawk Gatlinger just, like, all the way in the air. But then it cuts to, like, a shot of him, like, actually turned around facing up, shooting it. And I was like, that ruins it. Like, it should have just been him not looking and just having his arm pointed in the air and just fires at him.
I was going to say, I'm surprised that you pointed out a filming inconsistency, but I guess it makes sense since it's front Europe. Complaining at it from a stylistic, dramatic standpoint, and I completely understand.
Yeah.
I think that would have been cooler.
Yeah. So he just, like...
So he literally disassembles Grease.
Yeah, and then, like, he grabs him, and then he's, like...
He goes in for the finish him!
Yeah, he's about to, like, fucking just finish him off, and I was, like, the whole time, I was like, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it! But at the same time, I just, like, was like... I was like,
Sawa went back to get Ryuga. They're not gonna let that
pay off. I was like, Cross is gonna block it. Cross is gonna block it. Cross is gonna block it. Oh look, Cross blocked it.
Cross counter.
You're gonna be there, Cross counter. Oh god.
And then apparently, Bonjo actually gets control of his driver.
Yeah, and like,
this is one really weird shot where like, he's about to punch,
punches
and then
himself.
And then and then a hand stops him, so you think it's Sento or someone else, but then it zooms out and it's like he's holding his own hand, and I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, like I get it, but that's a little silly.
And then he punches himself. And then that kind of forces him. Like,
he actually fixed the machine by hitting it.
Yeah. But I still think the best one was in X-Aid when, like, Taiga was going level 50 for the first time, and, like, you saw him struggling with it, and then he kind of just
shrugged it off,
and he's like, yeah, no, I got this now, and I'm like,
I'm the captain of this ship.
I'm the captain now. He's ready for battleship.
So, hooray, Misora didn't have to commit murder!
Yeah, and she's, like, super fucking happy. She's like, thank God!
I really want to know how that kill switch was actually activated, because there were so many shots during the episode where she was, like, pushing it, or, like, holding it, or, like, even when she dropped it, I'm like, and then she accidentally clicks it! Boom! Fuck! But I noticed something.
Mm-hmm.
The design of that kill switch looks suspiciously close to one half of the full bottle that we see in the scans. So I think that's going to come into play.
You know, they have been foreshadowing that with, like, shit. Like, I can't remember, there was another one where, like, he was like, oh no, it was when he was testing the element for Sparkling.
When he was creating Sparkling, the device that he put the bottles into was the same mold as the Twin Breaker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know what actually would have been a cooler shot for, like, build when he was, like, about to finish off Kazumi?
Mm-hmm.
I would have loved it if he just, like, held him over the fucking edge of the ring.
Right?
That would have been awesome.
I was so, like, why isn't anyone addressing the fact that they're very high up?
Yeah, just fuck you. I'll drop you.
Just, like,
I'll just
yeah,
like, punch you, and then you'll just, like, you won't be able to get back.
That was so underused. I also was, like, when she dropped the kill switch, I wanted it to just, like, fall off, and you just see it, like, falling down the tower.
It just smashes in pieces.
Right?
Yeah.
That would have been amazing and so perfect.
That would have been awesome.
Just like, because, like, we have no need for this anymore.
So, of course, Hokuto Prime Minister Lady is fucking pissed off that, like, oh, she lost. And Stark's just like, He's like, oh, well, that's a shame. And then, like, sees, like, Guardian Trooper, Sato Trooper Guardians come in. And she's like, what the fuck? And Stark's like...
Oh, right! I told you to send your entire army into Toto in case Greece
like,
lost!
She's like, ha, I sent my entire army in to invade Toto like you suggested. And I'm like,
you stupid bitch!
Yeah, you're stupid. And then she's like, Stark, you betrayed me! He's like, I was never... helping you in the first place. And then, who fucking walks in but Kamen Rider Rogue?
Sporting that amazingly mood-killing fragile sticker on the back of his helmet, mind you.
No. You know what, actually? I've been looking up everyone's all for the fragile sticker on the back.
I just think it's hilarious because, like, he's being marketed as, like, this new, tough, super powerful rider. but be careful, he's fragile!
He's fragile.
I feel like that's supposed to point to him being mentally fragile, because he's definitely cracked at this point.
Oh, that's it. You cracked it!
I've cracked the case!
Good job, high five. Yay. And then just cuts to, like, this weird kind of, like, rotating just shot of, like, Rogue, and I'm just like,
it was like that opening shot of Blade with all the cards on the floor.
Oh, yeah. And just, like,
The design looks amazing in suit.
Gorgeous.
I was kind of weird on it when I saw the form in the scan, but in action, the suit looks awesome.
And oh boy, episode 23 does not disappoint. Holy shit.
So, starting episode 23...
Hang on, Anthony, play the build bumper again. Thank you. So this was a really, really good episode. A lot of shit happened. Like,
yeah,
a lot.
I feel like this made up for episode 22 pretty well.
Yeah, and Kiba got a lot of development this episode, which
good, I should fucking I should fucking hope he gets some development before he dies. Alba didn't get that much.
You know what? There you go, Ichi. Your favorite. Is the one that lasted the longest.
Hooray! Castle wins!
Yeah, because he's a castle, so, you know, they gotta storm the castle.
Gross.
Yeah.
So, episode 23 starts with Sawa doing the recap, and she's demanding to be paid $500 for doing
no,
so.
No, I think it was
50,000 yen.
It was like dollarks. That's what I saw the sun.
Did Japan change their currency after being isolated for 10 years?
No,
Jesus
they were
Christ.
Like, yeah, 50,000 dollarks. I'm like... the fuck's a Dalark?
Right?
Is it like a Dalek? A Dalek would just
I'm
like
surprised
a
they didn't
of
change it to Pandollars. Because Pandora. Pandoras!
Totos? There'll be 50,000 Totos. Cue a picture of just 50,000 Totos from Wizard of Oz.
No!
Oh, God, there's the picture of Harry with the skull strip.
No, stop calling attention to it.
No, you don't have to put it in then. Like, leave it to the audience's imagination.
So Misora comes up to Sento and go, you motherfucker, take your fucking kill switch back and you're making me dinner, bitch!
And Sento's like, okay.
And here we get the moment that I'm surprisingly okay with.
Oh, okay.
And that sets off Kazumi's fanboy mode.
Yeah, it's just like there's one
he just,
point
like,
where just
prostrates
like,
himself before
just
her.
Like he walks over, he's like, "Wait a minute, just you're me dead."
I really wanted him to just give Sento the dirtiest look and go, "You fucking liar!"
And yeah, he goes like, "Me tenda," and I'm just and
yeah. He literally like, just like he's like standing there like within earshot, but he pretends like he's not like she can't hear him, and he's just like, "Me tenda."
Yeah, and he's...
Shake my hand!
It's adorable when he goes, like, Mitan fanboy mode.
He goes full-on stereotypical otaku mode.
Yeah, and he's...
I am Somatara Kazumi, I'm 29, I'm single, I love you, sign my hand, can I touch your face?
Yeah, confirmed, he's 29.
Yeah.
Second oldest Kamen Rider in history, I don't know.
I'm glad to see a little bit of Otoya still left in the boy.
Oh, yeah, well, what activated?
Yeah.
So,
of course, Sawa sees this as an opportunity to make another $500, and Kazumi just, like, pulls out his checkbook. Wow, that's fucking cheap.
Hey, you know what? I'll give you $100,000.
No, we need that to live. Our farm is dead.
I think it was just like Kiva or Kiva
and Akuma.
We were like, no, we need that money, you asshole.
Right.
It's like you're not selling.
And it's at this point that they get notified that Sato now controls Hokuto, and the three of them are homeless.
See, I was right to pick the right side. Because, like, oh my god, fucking just... And then, like, the Sato president just fucking comes on the TV, and he's just like, you guys are mine. Can't do shit. I have hostages.
Hostages!
I got hostages!
I'm gonna practice my night of stabbing!
You know what's funny, actually? Funny story. I used to have a manager at my work who, like, was really, like, she got scared easily. So I used to just do that to her all the time. I'd just be like,
"You're scared?"
I'd be like, "Janine," she'd be like, "What?" I'd just go, "Ha-ha!" And then she would freak the fuck out.
So then, stop watering that bread.
No. So then one day, like, I posted on her Facebook timeline just like that clip of just Roberto doing that, and she's just like, "I fucking hate you." And I'm like, "I'll see you at work."
Noticeably.
Yeah, I miss her.
You're why she left.
Yeah. Probably. Food costs.
So, of course, like, while they're broadcasting, Kiba just shows up, like, ready to save their
family.
Yeah,
like, because...
I'm like, holy fuck, yeah, that was
like,
fast!
Like, Senta's just like, well, I guess, like, you know, you can stay with us or whatever like that, and Kazuki's just like, no, we gotta do shit by ourselves, we don't need you.
Well, it was more like Sento was like, if we go there, it's considered an act of aggression,
yeah, so
and that's gonna incite
anything.
The war. But my logic on that is... They've already declared war on you, motherfuckers! What left is there to incite?
Yeah.
They're going to attack you!
And, like, Ryuga...
Whatever you do!
Ryuga was even gonna go, like, do it, so it was like, no, you're staying here.
Down, bad dog!
Down, bad dragon!
I don't do that tongue thing.
Dragon, not lizard. Rider!
Not rider-like.
I don't do that gun thing.
Speaking of rider likes who do that gun thing.
So we get introduced to the Gear Bros.
Woo!
Or who I should actually call is we finally actually got our Super Smash Brothers.
Right?
And they're amazing. Like they're
I actually like them.
I like
more
them
than
a
I
lot too.
To.
Yeah, and so I'm getting the Nebula Steam Gun, and as a gift to Ichi, I'm giving him the remote control gear bottle because
we're gonna share the gun.
Yeah,
not
because
really, but.
Because that's that. Well, hell, like, sure.
Funky,
even funky. But yeah,
I can't believe the gun says funky.
Yeah, it says funky.
You know what it is? Hmm? We need to put a box of the fucking trans steam gun now with funky mode.
I almost want to make that the thumbnail for this week's episode.
Right. You know what? I'm writing that down.
Yeah, we'll make it just an insert picture, because that's funny. New funky mode. No, but, like, these guys are cool. They use only one Nebula Steam Gun. They, like,
share it.
That's so, like,
so
one inserts the a bottle and then takes it out, fires it, gives it to the other guy, he transforms, and then you just hear, like, these awesome sound effects.
Oh, my God. I realize what it is. Hmm? There's smoke coming out of it. They're passing it around. It's a fucking doobie! God damn it.
Oh, where's Kevin?
He did, in fact, pass it on the left-hand side. And one of them's green.
Where's Kevin when you need him?
Right.
Oh, he would have loved that.
But their designs are actually really cool, and it wasn't until we watched the episode that we got a good look at their helmets, and you can actually see, like, an engine piece and a remote control, and they look so much like Machine Chaser.
No, they're definitely inspired by Machine Chaser. Like, no doubt.
Well, and, like, well, I mean, the idea is they are, in fact, in canon, improvements on the Kaiser system from Heisei Generations Final, which they make a nod to, which confirms that these guys' systems were created by Nariaki.
Yep. Well, they even mentioned, like, Namba or whatever, or, like, the...
Namba's working with Sato now.
Yeah, and he's just like, Nariaki, like, well fucking done on making the Nebula Steam Gun, and he's just like, thank you. But no, and like I like that, like it goes like Gear Engine, Gear Rimacon,
funky,
and then it's just like engine,
funky spy.
It's like engine running gear,
remote control gear.
Yeah, and like the sounds, like the remote control goes like boop 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 boop.
I love it.
Yeah, no, it's great, and like their teamwork is amazing. Like fucking the engine one just goes in with the steam blade and just like goes for close quarter attacking.
And then the Remocon one, like a remote control, stays back and fires from range.
Yeah, so it's,
I love it.
And it's cool. Like they're actually brothers, and like so Engine's the younger brother, but he's the bigger one. So like the cool thing is like Engine's the bronze, and the remote control's the brains.
Because he remote controls.
Yeah.
I like it.
No, I like, these two are great.
And what I really love the most is that they've got these fucking single bottle armband things. I want it!
Release it. Yeah, no, I wouldn't mind getting one myself.
I was thinking about that, and I'm like, why don't I just get the build bottle holder then?
Might as well. Yeah, you get Sojiki with it.
I don't want Sojiki. It sucks.
We'll give it to Emily. She wants a vacuum bottle.
But then she'll think I gave her something that sucks.
Oh. Yeah, so fucking Kiba tries to take shit into his own hands. Oh, there he goes.
Yeah.
So
yeah, Kiba shows up trying to save the family and promptly gets his shit stomped in by the brothers.
Yeah, like badly. So much to the point where, like, Grease goes in, tries to rescue him, and, like, with Castle, and they go off, and so they end up, like, in this, like, riverbed.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Grease, like, tries to fly away, but then they shoot him down.
Yeah, and so then he ends up in, like, this riverbed. And
this neat little island area type place.
Yeah, and then, like, well, so the funny thing is, like, Kiba or whatever, is just, like, he's like, yeah, I'm already kind of dying, so, like, I'm sorry.
Apparently that fall was the last straw.
Yeah, and so then, like, they proceed to just, like, kick their fucking asses, and then Kiba takes, like, a hit or whatever, and, like, he dies, and then just Castle's, like, so fucking pissed off that, like, he...
He finally uses his fucking building beam. I'm like, why didn't you use that ages ago?
And they get the fuck out. So then, Sento, Ryuga are, like, waiting at the border or whatever.
Oh, a couple of things I wanted to mention about the bros first. Mm-hmm. Their transformation, their henshin callout is Jundo, which apparently translates to lubricate. I mean, for engine, I get it, but to lubricate a remote? That seems a little off-brand. And a lot of people have been comparing them to the, not only Super Smash Brothers, but Mighty Brothers.
Yeah. No.
I get it.
That's true.
So the idea behind this whole scheme that they're doing is they want Grease to join Sato, and he probably says, go fuck yourselves.
Yeah. So then, yeah, Ryuga and Sento meet them at the border, and
My Snowball in our chat mentioned something interesting. Unlike Alba, Kiba actually died as a human.
Yes, so that was cool.
Very noteworthy.
Yeah, that sucks that happened to him. So
I feel bad for him. But I actually liked him.
But he was very reckless, and like
They're all reckless, that's the idea.
Yeah. But, well, it seems Castle was the smartest of the three.
Which is weird, because he seems like the dumbest.
Yeah, like, the most hot-headed, too.
Right?
Because he's, like, really... He gets really pissed off, but, like... Honestly, Kiba, he cared about, like, his home, and he didn't want to see his people suffer, so, like...
And then we find out his name is Shokishi, and they repeat it 10 times.
And he proceeds to give Grease his dog tag before he...
Collect the set!
I mean, they
he
are
probably will.
They are releasing it.
Yeah.
And then Sento and Ryuga attempt to fight the Gear Brothers, and they also get their fucking asses kicked.
Sento goes right to Trigger, and he seems to have more control
over
Avatar.
He's like, oh, I think I got it.
And then five seconds later, nope!
Nope, and then...
Hooray, you improved by a whole 5 seconds.
Yeah, and it's cool, too. Like, before they transform whatever, Sento just looks over Ryuga, and he's just like, I'm going to use it, and he's like... I understand.
Yeah.
Like, I'll get you out if need be.
Kick my ass.
I want you to go kicking my ass.
You mind? And which he actually does, because after he goes out of control, Cross Charge actually uses his fucking faucet handle to shoot the trigger off of him and knock him back into Rabbit Tank. That was a cool shot.
Mm-hmm.
Both the actual shot and the camera shot. So he tries to do sparkling instead, but...
But, like, at this point in the series, like, sparkling sucks. Because, like, I see it as this.
I guess you could say sparkling's gone flat. No.
Sparkling was... Sparkling... Sento only made sparkling to...
Fight Stark.
Fight Stark and get the upper hand with Stark.
Yeah.
And, like, fight Night Rogue as well. So, that's... And then he had to use Build Hazard to... You know, stand up against the Slash Driver users and like the Hard Smash,
which means we're probably going to be getting Rabbit and Tank very soon.
Yeah, because apparently we found out that that's like apparently when he actually gets control of the hazard trigger.
So well, yeah, when we saw the scans, we saw that that was using the hazard trigger and a new bottle.
I didn't remember seeing that. I thought it was just a new bottle.
Well, look up the scan and you can see them.
Okay, and so then we cut to...
our mysterious new rider inside a tunnel, which is under the Sky Road. So my thought on that was, A, the Sky Road has man-made looking components within it, or B, they cracked a hole in it and then built a tunnel under it.
Yeah, I like to think... cause
probably
like
was, that one?
Yeah. And surprise, surprise, it's Gentoku. It's surprising no one.
There! Shut up, everyone who thought it was Narayaki!
Thank God it's not Narayaki!
Half the fandom thought it was Narayaki!
But I'm gonna say, oh man.
That Henshin.
Just like he opens it and it just goes like danger and you just hear bam 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 bam.
It's
bam,
the
bam,
fucking
bam.
Jaws theme.
It is, and then just,
I get it.
And so then he like activates it and it's literally like kind of the same as like the Splash Driver users.
Except the call out at the start of it is different because instead of saying like squish jelly overflow, it's like bite chomp. Crack.
And then, like, it forms, like, the vat around him with the liquid, and then just these two little, like, pincer things, like,
their
teeth,
jaws.
Their jaws, and they just, shatter the vat, and then...
I like it.
The helmet forms, and then, bam, cracks, and then makes his helmet.
Kabuto slash Gatak style clicks up onto his face and activates his eyes. I'm kind of disappointed that the crocodile bottle didn't actually come from the essence of Stag. Like I was hoping, you know what I mean?
Oh, because it's a stag beetle.
No, I know, but they both involve, like, you know, two jaws on the side.
I guess so. Well, one's a set of jaws, the other one's a set of pincers.
I know, but there's... the fucking helmet... the helmet is exactly the same as Gatak's gimmick.
Yes. And then just, like, we hear just, like... Crocodile in Rogue! Oorah! And then just, like, this...
Yeah, at the end of the Jaws theme.
I love hearing that scream. Yeah.
And we're going to be hearing that for a while.
I like that when he's transforming, too, it goes, like, fast. It goes, like, dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun.
Because it's the Jaws theme.
Yeah, and just, oh, it's so cool. And, like, Gentoku's appearance looks fucking awesome. Like, he has, like,
he grew his hair
a bit longer. He has, like, this, like, giant coat that he, like, just wears over his shoulders. He's wearing, like, a Sato kind of outfit.
Honestly, it looks like he's been homeless.
He's gone the ways of Jin.
It's not that he let his hair grow out, it's that he's homeless and thus has no access to a barber.
He's gone rogue.
He has, in fact, gone rogue.
He has gone rogue. He betrayed his own fucking country to join another country. But he's just so cool, and, like, I love it. He, like... it's like a callback to, like, when Sparkling, like, Light Rogue tried punching Sparkling, and just, like, it didn't... like, he didn't make him flinch or anything. So, like, Sparkling punches Night Rogue or whatever, and Rogue just doesn't move. And I'm just like, ha! He's like...
And again, I have to bring up how odd it is for something marked fragile and full of cracks to be tanking hits with no problem.
I think that's the irony behind it.
Absolutely. I just think it's worth noting.
It's because when something's cracked, it's more dangerous.
Yeah. Careful, you're going to cut yourself on his edge.
He's an edgelord.
He is!
Kamen Rider edgelord.
Right?
And then we get this awesome pose of just, like he knocks Ryuga down, and then he just, like, puts the crocodile bottle in the nebulous steam gun and just points it down, not even fucking looking at him, just shoots him into a fucking, like, cliff wall and just explodes, dehensions him. And then just, like, Bill tries to fucking punch him, which, you know, pushes him forward, but Rogue's not, like, actually physically moving, like, he's just, like, dragging him along the ground. And then just Rogue proceeds to just, like, do a... hey,
crack up finish!
He just, like, jumps up and just...
crocodile bite kick.
Yeah, and, like, he, like, puts his two legs, like, right between Build, and it looks like just a giant pair of, like, crocodile jaw.
Burakawani combo? Go fuck yourself.
I mean, honestly, yes. Like, I love that he sots too.
There's a new King Croc in town.
Yeah. And just, it was... oh, he's just... he's so cool. Like, it's super hype. It's debut syndrome, like hell, but it's still so cool.
I'm looking forward to seeing where the show goes.
That's, like, the one reason I bought the Splash Driver for was for Rogue, so.
Of course.
Yay. So that's why I'm glad the crack bottle's, like, a separate release on its own.
Hashtag crackodile.
Yep. Crackodile, there you go. And, yeah, and then he dehenshins, and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm Comrade Rogue, and they're like, Rogue, and then he dehenshins, and he's like,
shocker!
It's Gintoku, and he's like, yeah, go fuck yourselves, kick your ass. Don't fuck with me.
Come at me, scrubs.
And, yeah, and, like, when he showed up, like, the Gear Bros were just like, oh, okay, we're done, bye! And they just poof.
Yeah.
And it just, yeah, it ends there, and...
I noted, like, after he finishes off build, when, like, Sento falls out of the smoke unhenshin, like, the belt is gone. Like, I know, like, he's actually just got it somewhere, but I think I just thought it was hilarious. Just, like, did he, like, shatter the belt?
Oh, God.
I mean, they made a second one for Cross, so it's safe to say he can make another one if he needed to.
I'd love to see just, like, Ryuga's build driver's just, like, in a corner. Just
collecting dust. Yeah. And the Cross Dragon's just sitting to it, like, looking sad.
Just brr, brr, brr. Sounds like
sad samba.
Just I gotta wear out like the batteries in my Cross Dragon. Just, oh yeah.
Yep. Hey, wake up. He's just asleep.
So next week, Gintoku threatens Bat Dad and
points a gun in his face.
I hope he kills him. That'd be awesome.
You know,
this is the last straw, dude.
You know, it wouldn't surprise me, but I kind of hope it doesn't happen. But it wouldn't surprise me.
No. Probably Castle's gonna die next week. Like you know, it's inevitable. Like he's gonna die.
Probably
he's gonna die. Yeah. But again, I commend him for being the last one alive of the three.
You are the survivor.
Yeah, you're. Oh, I get it. Stag was the first guy because he's a bug. So, you know, he was easily squished like a bug because that's how he was easily defeated. And then, you know, the owl, he died because he got shot out of the air like a hunter shooting a bird for like a bird, like its prey.
Oh my God.
So, like, I don't know.
Does that mean someone's going to defeat Castle by blowing him up or shoving him off a wall?
Yeah, because that's how you, destroy a castle is storming it or blowing it up.
No, I've got it. This requires Operation Trebuchet.
Comrade or Trebuchet.
Just launch a cannonball into Akiba's chest.
No, you launch Castle Smash in on a Trebuchet into the Skywall, and then he just gets...
I got it. We throw ladders at him and climb up him.
Oh, I figured... Yeah, that's why they all died like the way they did in that order, because Stag was a bug. He got squished because he was easy. Owl died because he got... shot it from the sky like a hunter. So, there you go!
Whoa.
Cool! I cracked it.
I don't know if that kind of thought went into it, but interesting idea.
I don't know. Toei likes to, like, be very, very, like, sneaky with the references. So, I'm believing that. That's clever.
Sure.
Anyways, let's get into the more fun discussion of this episode. Not that Precure's not fun, of course, but, like... We're here to talk about fucking Lupin Pack, because that's the freshest shit right now, so...
Fresh.
Cue that bumper! So... God, just... I love the Power Rangers. Like, I've been obsessing over with them, like, all week. And, like, I've kind of been having, like, a rough, like, couple of weeks, too, just because, like, work's been, like... killing me just because of they've been working me like really hard the past little while, and just I've been kind of feeling down at times, but like I just like, you know, I pin like the Power Ranger transformation like on my Twitter profile, and I've been watching it a lot, and I just like it's so good. Like I just want to get into that. So
as
yeah,
as expected, we got the Power Rangers.
Yes,
sequence.
I'm glad we actually got a full like transformation sequence.
We knew it was gonna happen.
I didn't doubt it
for a second.
I sort of did, because, like, it seems at this point that the Lupin Rangers are the more focused, but you know what?
And before we go on, I want to address that. There is a mountain of evidence to support the fact that the Lupin Rangers are the primary focus, even in the theme songs. So, the separate versions of the TV-sized theme songs went out, Turn the Dials and Chase You Up.
Yep.
And anyone who checks out our YouTube channel, I actually did the thing that... I ever knew I was going to do probably, and took the two themes, the separate versions, and overlaid them to make like a not actual version of the mixed up version from the TV opening,
mm-hmm.
and I called it like Chase the Dials or whatever, and it actually sounds not that bad.
Yeah, a lot of people were actually impressed. They're like, wow, wow, that's actually really good.
Yeah.
So good job.
It was funny because, like, I linked to that mashup I did a couple years ago of the Cure You Red Carnival themes.
The Carnival themes.
And Blaze in our chat was like, oh my god, you were the one who made that?
Oh, I love you more now! But yeah, so, and you know what? Actually, I noticed the thing. Usually in, like, TV shows that involve, like, kind of, like, thieves and, like, cops and stuff, a prime example being, like, Lupin the Third. Lupin is the main character. He's the thief. And the cops, like, there's a cop character, like, you know, a detective who's, like, obsessed with him and, like, you know, he's obsessed with chasing Lupin.
So that's what's happening.
So that's what's happening. Like, yes, the Power Rangers are going to be the kind of less focused Sentai, but, you know.
I feel like they'll still get their due, at least.
Yeah, there'll be episodes that'll be more primarily about them.
And what I was saying about the theme songs is, if you listen to the individual theme songs, the Power Rangers theme song, the key that it's sung in, it absolutely sounds like it's meant to be played with something else.
Yeah, so, like, unfortunately, but, you know, what are you gonna do? So.
And I am so Team Lupin, as if I needed more evidence that, looking at the two themes completely objectively, I do actually like the Lupin theme better.
It's sad to say I do too, but, like, I still like the Power Ranger one. It's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad by any stretch of the imagination. I think it fits them pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But the way it's sung, it's very clear that it's meant to be harmonized with the Lupin Ranger theme.
Yeah, but, oh, just, so, like, I got a VS changer, like, as, like, a Valentine's Day gift from my girlfriend. So, like, I would have had it last week, hopefully, for last week's Cast Ranger, but, like, I sent my payment through PayPal, like, through my bank account, and then it did, like, an electronic check, so it took, like, 6 to 8 days to actually process to...
I forgot e-checks were even a thing, because I haven't done one in, like, 10 years.
So, like, just, like, the other day, as of this recording, was, like, when it finally cleared, and then they just shipped it out to me, so I'll be getting it next week, so... So be ready for next week's episode. I'll probably have my VS changer by then, and I'll be, like, not spamming the Power Ranger morph, but I'll be...
When did our supplier say you'd have them?
Early March.
So maybe, like, next week as well?
Next week maybe, yeah.
That'd be cool if we both get them.
Oh, well, you and I will be fucking just rivaling each other with that.
Yep.
But yeah, I love the Power Rangers, and I actually made a really notice something about myself this week. So, I noticed that a lot of my favorite toku heroes are either cop-themed ones or ones who are cops. So, like, a prime example, my favorite Kamen Rider of all time is Kamen Rider Drive, who is a cop.
And Excel.
Excel, one of my other top five favorite riders, a cop.
The Deck Rangers?
G3X, cop. Signalman Blue Centurion from Car Ranger Turbo, cop robot. So, like, I don't know, just because, like, I see them as, like, you know, a great example of, like, what a hero should be, especially Tokusatsu, should be, you know, someone who knows, like, the different, like, what's truly right and wrong, and, you know, knows justice and how to serve it, like, justice properly.
Facecore in our chat is saying we should start a GoFundMe to send you to cop school.
No, I couldn't be a cop even if I wanted to, but I respect, like, people who are police officers, like... That's why, like, whenever I see a police officer, I just, like, kind of look at them, and I'm like, you serve our city very well. So, but yeah, so, like, I really draw myself to the Power Rangers a lot. I think they're a really fun bunch of guys, and, like, I love them. I even love their suits now. Like, I really, like, I stared really hard at their designs, and, like, I like it. So, like, yeah, the top of their helmet, it's like a cop. It's like a police officer's hat, and then they're wearing, like, sunglasses, like, usually detectives wear, or, like, patrol officers.
I think those are meant to be, like, the brim of their hats.
Yes, also, but it's also supposed to be, like, sunglasses, like, patrol officers wear.
I think the only one that looks like sunglasses is Nico.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the henshin and such.
Yeah.
So, I really liked the Power Rangers henshin, because it does something that not a lot of recent Sentai have done. See, in a lot of recent Sentai, when they do the henshin, even in the sequence, it's just, they get all glowy, and then the suit's there.
Yeah.
And the helmet will come on second sometimes.
Yeah.
But what these series do is actually give us a multi-layered transformation.
Yeah.
The Power Rangers shoulder pieces are armor that you get to see, like, assemble and, like, slide into and click into place.
Well, we kind of got that with the Lupin Rangers one, too, because, like, you see, like, the suit comes on, like, the tie,
yeah,
and then,
it's like
the,
getting
and then
dressed.
The cape, like, flows out from...
It's like
from
getting dressed, and I was going to mention that, but you're right.
Yeah.
That's why I like both of these. But I appreciated Power Rangers because it looks like proper armor.
And then the chest of the Power Rangers, like...
I finally understand it!
It's a detective suit.
It's a tie in the middle!
Yeah, it's a shirt, tie, and a jacket.
I had no fucking clue what that suit was about until I saw that henshin.
Okay, so, like, I'm gonna put up a picture, like, for reference for the two of us to, like, look at it. But, yeah, so, like, if you notice in this picture here of, like,
posted in the Discord too.
Okay, I will.
But yeah, like you during the henshin, you see the tie like flap around, and I'm like, oh my god!
Yeah. So like, if you look there, so like the middle of the chest, whatever, that's the tie, and then like you see And then, like, the white part outside is, like, the jacket that they're, like, that goes with the suit.
And
then
the colored part on top is the lapels.
Yeah, is the lapels, and then, like, the red underneath the tie, that's, like, the shirt, the dress shirt.
And the jacket.
Yeah, and then, like, the white part's the jacket or whatever like that. So it's, like, they're literally wearing, like, a detective's coat.
Yeah.
And, like, a detective suit. Which, when we saw in episode one, Keiichiro was, like, sitting on the bench reading the newspaper, he was wearing a
trench coat
and a suit with a tie.
Yeah.
So... I fucking, like, I love these suits now, like, they're, because like, I know, I understand the gimmick behind them, and the theme behind them, and that makes it just, like, 1,000 times better.
So, I understand them now, I don't really don't like them. Them, though.
That's fair.
I understand exactly what they're doing, and I appreciate what they're doing.
Yeah.
It just doesn't appeal to me.
But no, like, I love the Morgan sequence, because, yeah, like, the armor slides on stuff, and then I love when they zoom in, like, they do, like, a salute with their
that,
left arm.
That
and
was
then
awesome.
Just, and then just, like, the helmet, like, goes on, like a hat and stuff like that, and then, like, you hear this really nice kind of, like, old-style, like, Sentai kind of, like, shing sound, like, at the end of their helmet forming, and just, like, all three of them do it, and then, like, they go, like, Patron, Ichigo, Nigo, Sango, and then they do, like, you know, they, like, clap their feet together, and they all do a salute, and then they go, Keisatsu Sentai, Pato Ninja! And then they get ready to, like...
I like that the overlay goes all, like, GSPO, Tactical Unit!
Yeah, and like, I love hearing all, like, the, because...
The music's good, too.
Yeah, and, like, the sirens, like, you hear all these police sirens go off, because, like, I like...
I'm glad it's not the exact same siren as Dekaranger, but it sounds comparable.
Yeah. But for me, personally, also, I love hearing, like, sirens. I've always liked them as a kid. Like, that's why, like, every time... Like, even as a kid, like, I used to do, like, cop chases and stuff like that. Like, with toy cars as a kid. I used to always go, like, wee-oo, wee-oo, wee-oo.
Oh, there's your backstory.
Yeah, so, like, I'm not gonna toot my own horn soon, but these guys might become my new favorite Sentai. I'm not saying yet now, but they have their potential. They have potential. Cause like
what'll really decide it is if Hilltop becomes Zero Go like I want.
Sure, no, I'm voting for Jim Carter.
God, no.
Jim Carter is the next Power Ranger.
No, please.
So
speaking of backstories, we get the Lupin Rangers backstory.
Holy fuck!
It involves actual death, or what looks like it.
No, I think it is, but then, what's the butler's name again?
Kogure.
Yeah, he's like, oh, with the Lupin collection, we can bring them something that has been lost, or has been assumed lost.
He's probably gonna be evil.
He is the master.
I don't think they'll pull that, but I do sense that Kogure and his master are pulling the strings in some manner.
Also, calling it now, the master who owns the Lupin collection, he's probably going to be Patron X Lupin X. Like,
I think that's
hands down.
I think that's very possible.
I wouldn't be surprised, because, like, they say, oh, the VS Changers and all the equipment, the Good Striker and everything, that's all, like,
the Lupin collection.
He made the shit!
Yeah.
He made it! Like, he probably based it off of the collection that Arsene Lupin, like, stole. So, and claimed for himself. So, like, he invented this shit. So, I'm not surprised. So, I will not be surprised in the least if he is end up being Patron Lupin X. So,
we get We also get the opening sequence finally in this episode.
It's cool. And then someone took it, matched it with the Persona 5 opening, and it was just...
It fits perfect.
Mwah! Like, beautiful. Wake up, get up, get up, there. Yeah, it's... we'll link it in the episode, so it's really good. And yeah, so the opening was really cool. Like, again, like, the Power Rangers were kind of underplayed, but,
I think the opening was fairly divided.
Like, I also... That's another reason I like the Power Rangers, too. I like them also because they're gonna be kind of the underdog in this series. Sure. So, like, I like usually rooting for, like, the little guy, so...
Fair.
Yeah. But yeah, so, like, in their origin or whatever, it was really sad. Like, even for me, I was, like, with Luperetta, I was just like, you know what? I feel you, bud. I hate you, but... I feel for you.
What really kind of diluted that scene for me is, like, when he knocks his brother down, just like, oh no, I spilled this box of rose petals!
Oh god, yeah, you're so gonna die, because that's kind of like the generic, like, oh, like, happens in a crime scene, like, especially in an alley. Like, his brother died in an alley.
Yep.
That's like literally generic detective crime, like, cop.
Crime alley.
Murder crime scene number one.
Yep.
In an alley.
Yep.
But yeah, so he goes off, hears his brother scream, he goes back around, he's covered in ice, and he, like, kind of walks up to him and, like, touches him, but then it shatters, and then it goes, like, all red, and then he's just like, ah, freaking out.
What am I fighting for?
This was kind of funny, but, like, we get Toma, and he's, like, around, like, all these other people in ice, and then sees his fiance. And then,
what looks like his fiance, well, at least.
They literally zoomed in on, like, the ring on her
hand.
I know.
So. I think that's what we're meant to assume, but...
And then... I'm sorry, but I laughed at this. But just, like, the face he makes when, like, he sees her, like, shatter. It just kind of looked like he was just like... And, like, I love a screenshot right now of, like, Thomas, like, face when he, like, saw her die.
Dude, the man's wife died.
It was funny. Just his face. He's like... Aah! And then,
Umika loses her friend at the mall, and also everyone else at the mall.
Yeah, and then we get introduced to, like,
this white-headed gangler.
Ice cowboy assassin.
It's the fucking Ice Age Dopant all over again.
Yeah, and, like, he does, like, this whistle thing, and...
He's Proto-Man.
Yeah, we saw him in the opening, too, and, like, when me and Ichi saw him in the opening, we're like, who the fuck's that guy?
He looks awesome, though. His hat looks a little goofy when you see him in that one scene where he walks by.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm willing to forgive that, because this guy's awesome.
I know. He's got a new hat.
And, yeah, it's the weather Dopant. I don't know why I kept saying Ice Age Dopant.
Yeah, and then just, like, it's interesting, too, because, like, the butler or whatever, like, joins... or meets up with, like, each of them, and,
and he shows up, like, immediately after the ice... monster attacks.
And just like, I like.
Oh that. My god, what if he is that monster?
No.
We've been slinging theories all week.
Oh, what if the Master's just been like, did that just to like, kind of have.
Motivate them to steal back the items? That's a thing.
Like he's playing them. There we go! Look at the face! Just. Ah! Like, it looked like it just took like a horrible shit.
God damn it!
Such a funny, but I'm sorry. Sorry for your loss, Lupin Blue, but, like, that face is fucking hilarious.
You'd make that face if your girlfriend wife died.
I would. Oh, no, I'd be destroyed. Don't even talk about that.
Lupin Pink.
Yeah, and so, like, sorry, what's the butler's name again?
Kogure.
Okay.
You just remember, like, Kogure, like, Sky's
like,
Blue.
I like that, like, Kairi kind of went up to him, and he's just like, do you know anything about this? Like, tell me! And, like...
Why is he wearing a mask? LOL!
Why did he shatter like glass?
LOL!
And, like, he's explaining them, and then I like that kind of transitions between, like, all three of them. Like,
yeah.
He's, like, holding, like, the VS Changer with, like, the dial fight, each of their dial fighters, like, already in it. And he's like, become a Lupin Ranger, help us take back the collection, and we'll bring back your dead loved ones. And then I guess they give them the bistro for, like, their hideout, and then, like, it was kind of weird that, like, I wish we would have gotten, like, a proper, like, introduction from, between the three characters, like, of how they, like, actually them, like, meet.
I feel like we might get that afterwards. It's safe to assume that, like, they all got hired, and then they just, like, met each other upon, like, their first mission.
Yeah, and then that's like, where, like, they made the
welcome,
promise.
Welcome, here are the other Lupins. fucking say hi. I don't know. Maybe one of them are. Maybe Kyrie like already owns the bistro, or one of them does. Who knows?
Are you a red, a blue, or a yellow?
Are you a boy? Are you a girl? Are you a Lupin? Or are you a Pato?
I'm a Pato.
So as much as I don't want to say this and put this idea in everyone's heads, this is a series where someone died, and then they have to collect all of the things in order to have a wish to come back to life. What other show do we know that did this?
The Ghost!
It's fucking Ghost!
Only one Lupin, Red.
I have 99 days to get all the Lupin items.
99 days to collect the Lupin collection before my, like... Oh, my brother doesn't come back. So then we, okay, cutting into the beginning, the Power Rangers, like, fight the Lupin Rangers, and
we get a Zord battle!
It's
awesome!
They chase them off in their Zords, and, like,
chase them up.
I did like that, Lupin Blue, like, fires, like a box falling to fall down on Sakia, and Sakia like just goes like ah, and like punches it, and he like destroys the box. He's like,
yeah,
holy shit, that was awesome. You can't beat the Ganglers.
I can fight.
And just like Keiichiro, like being my favorite character so far. Just I love how just like just doing his job he is.
I love that scene devolves into nobody's getting away. Everybody got away.
Fuck! Yeah, we'll get to that in just a second. They all chase in their Zords, and then, like, we find out, like, what the Ichigo trigger machine does.
It in fact, shifts into turbo.
Yeah, it's like a
turbine!
It's like a thruster. Yeah, it's a turbine.
It's a fucking turbine booster!
Everyone thought it was some kind of, like, saw blade or something, and I was like...
Yellow already does the saw blade.
Yeah, I was like, no, it's a turbine. And like, it was cool, like the yellow Dino Fighter like cuts like a billboard, and then like Sakia,
that was awesome.
Like, Sakia accidentally like activates his thing and like he shoots it. He's like, oh my fucking god. And then like
Pink tries to jab Blue out of the sky. That was hilarious.
Yeah, Tsukasa uses like the baton and he's like, holy shit. And I love the blue Dino Fighter because it made like Plano and went like, I love like the sound of biplanes.
Right,
like,
and then he unloads his fucking Gatling gun on her.
Yeah, like I don't remember biplanes ever having Gatling guns, but
well, it's like an old timey plane, so I'll have like an old timey gun kind of.
Sure.
It's like a Tommy gun.
So then, yeah. So I really like the.
It's a Tommy gun. Maybe, I don't know.
So then, yeah. So like, Keiichiro goes after him, like with the car, and like. It's actually cool how they kind of use teamwork, because, like, he's, like, running out of, like, ramp room to go chase after him.
And I swear to God, the scream he lets out seeing the end of the ramp killed me.
Yeah, and so it's like, Sakia, like, shoots a hole, whatever, and then, like,
Pink pushes
Sango,
the ramp
like, pushes up
the road, so it makes the ramp,
and then he jumps up, and he, like... jumps out of his fucking trigger machine and, like, tries to, like, grab him and then, like...
And he even, like, shouts his name. I'm like, you're revealing your identity, asshole!
Oh my god, that guy's Keiichiro! And, like, I was like, oh my god. And then, like...
It's so dramatic and amazing. And I'm like, oh my god, is he gonna catch them?
And then Lupin Red literally just turns his dial fire to the
tilts
side.
Tilts the plane.
And then he's
shit!
Like... And then, yeah. And, like, I can't speak too soon for this, but there might be a possible counter for this... series
failed attempts
just, no of him just going like Onore Kaito just like yelling that, so I'm gonna look out for more for now for him yelling that out, because and then yeah he lands
what
in the water and you just see him going like fuck
damn them,
so like I felt bad for the guy, so I was like, oh,
I feel like he tried. I feel like this is going
to
be the dynamic going forward, where every other week, maybe, he, like, attempts to catch them, and they just, like, avoid him, and then he ends up in a pile of something.
And that's why I'm liking Keiichiro, because I like that he's literally, like, just doing his job, but he's, like, doing it way too seriously, and, like, I love that about his character.
I'm looking forward to enjoying him being in a constant state of angry.
Yeah. Like, again, like, it reminds me of Genpachi, because Genpachi was, like, the exact same way. Just,
right?
Like, serious as fuck cop, trying too hard.
Why do you know?
Yeah, and, like, that's why, again, he's, like, one of my favorite characters in Drive. And just, oh. So, like, they're a long-lost son. Like, I'm sorry.
It's like his estranged son. Like, he's trying
to... He's the son of Genpachi and Rina.
He's trying to be a good cop so he can reunite with his dad.
I gotta join the Tokyo Jumper.
He's trying to get transferred.
Oh my god, that'd be hilarious.
I want a Drive Lupin and Lupin Pato crossover so fucking bad.
So then Kairi, like, tries to, like, go back to, like, the crime scene to try to, like, figure out where, like, the gangler went, but then, like, he's like, oh shit, the cops are here, I can't, like...
They've, like, set up a patrol. Yeah.
And then he sees that, like, Keichiro's, like, trying to help, like, he's talking to, like, the owners of, like, the jewelry, like, thefts, and, like, it's like, oh, I'm sorry you, like, you lost your home and your jewels and everything, I'll promise you we'll defeat this monster for you, have my word, and Kairi's just kind of looking at him just like, huh.
So this is where we start to see where the duality and dynamic of the two teams will come into play versus the ganglers, whereas the Lupin Rangers have a promise to collect the items in order to get their loved ones back. The Pacha Rangers have promises to stop the monsters from harming civilians.
Yep.
So I feel like this is going to be the dynamic going forward. Mm. And it makes sense, because in the materials we were reading before the series started, they did say that the Lupin Rangers are focused on getting the items, and the Pacha Rangers are focused on defeating the ganglers. So I'm looking forward to seeing this back and forth.
Yeah. So then, like, yeah, cut to, like, they find the gangler or whatever like that.
Garato.
Yeah, Garato. And, like, they're fighting him and stuff, and then, yeah, the Power Rangers come in, and then they transform, they start fighting, and,
And then Sakuya pulls the fucking Good Striker out of nowhere.
Yeah, no, but before that, quickly, I like this kind of thing where just, like, we see, like, Keichiro, Lupin Red, like, notices Pacha Nichigo trying to do stuff, and then, like, he's like, you know what? We got the item, like, let's just go.
They get the, like, Lupin lighter, whatever it's called, because it's not labeled in the show. What I thought was worth noting was the fact that because they fought him before, they were ready for him to, like, grow the extra arms.
Yeah,
so Blue and Yellow, like, use their grabby bits on the Itadaki Kaitos to restrain him.
Yeah.
And then they take the lighter, yeah. and then the Power Rangers show up and are like, yeah, you can have
it. Oh, and we get a cool shot of when they're swinging
when
down.
When they jump down, we get, like, a rotary camera. And
yeah, that was cool.
More awesome camera work this episode.
Continue that awesome camera work, Toei.
Yeah.
Cool. But yeah, so, like, Kairi, like, takes Toma and he, like, grapples him up to a rooftop. And
yeah,
then, like,
apparently their belt buckles. Those are fucking grappling hooks.
And, yeah,
that's
and,
awesome.
And they're also they look like safes. They're like little safes.
No, they look like belt buckles. In fact, they look a lot like the belt buckles on the Cast Ranger suits.
Oh, okay.
Toy.
Someone said they look like safes, so I see them.
They look like the only thing you could store in them would be like cards or cash.
Yeah. Well, they're supposed to look like them. I didn't say they are safes. Look like safes.
I bet you they'll release that.
So then, like, it's cute that, like, Umiko, whatever's like that, is just like, it's like, hey, wait for me! Like, comes with them, and then, like, Toma's like, what the fuck are you doing? And he's like, you know what?
We got the item.
This is more important that we bring this back. Let them handle it. And then.
Oh, so Blaze looked up the names of the Lupin items. So the lighter is apparently called Allume-moi, which is French for turn me on, which I guess makes sense.
Oh.
And I think you said you had the dice as well. Let me know what that is, because your message vanished.
So then Sakuya brings in the Good Striker, and they...
Which, again, is completely unexplained. The fact that these are from the Lupin collection...
Maybe that was with the stuff Hilltop brought in.
Maybe.
I'd like to think so.
I'm still suspicious. I think that someone, whether it's Kogure or the white-hatted dude or someone, is behind the scenes playing both sides.
Oh, of course.
The name of the dice is Comme un cube qui roule, which I guess is French for like a rolling cube. Makes sense, because dice. What the fuck? I apologize if I butchered that French.
So the Power Rangers use it to transform into Pacha Nichigo, and it's great. They kind of just go like...
It's so hilarious watching their, like, renders just, like jump into each other.
And I gotta say, I dig this design a lot. That's kind of what it is. It's a version of Kenpachi's iteration of Drive.
And everyone I've ever shown this to has agreed with me that the best word to describe Pacha Nichigo is candy-colored.
Yeah, I agree, and I love that suit.
I know you like it, and I'm totally okay with the fact you like it, but I think it is a fucking disaster! Even in the suit! A lot of people will hate something in the scans, but then when they see it in the suit, they're like, oh no, that's cool. Nope, in fact, I don't like it even more.
Just quickly, that was my favorite part in the Heart movie. Heart transformed into Gen's version of Drive.
I'm just calling that Type Speedwell Technic.
I made that figure. I had that figure on my
display. Oh, I know.
I took apart my gimmick figures to make that, and I'm so happy to have it. So the Transformer Patch and Hugo, and then, they use their attack, which was...
Ichigeki Strike.
Cool. Oh! Before that, also, they use the Megalobows to...
The Megabows. They force the Tepotaman, or the Potaman, to, stand in order as they promptly...
Make them freeze.
Spank them.
Yeah, and then they, one of the subs, the overtime did was, refuse to comply, strike.
Yeah.
And then, it was actually, I forgot what TV Nihon subbed as, but it was better.
Yeah.
And just, they beat the... That's broken.
Although, it won't work on, MOTWs.
No, probably not. And then that's probably the only time. They were just hey, by now.
Here's how we clear the mooks.
Yeah. But I'm as much as I love the Power Rangers right now, I still hate that weapon. Both weapons are absolute garbage.
I like the Itadaki Kaito.
The sword mode's cool, but I just...
Grabbing bit is hilarious, and this episode they actually put it to some functions.
Yes, but more so I hate it. I hate the toy because it doesn't have any sounds.
It's because it's a sword. Any toy
toys make sounds.
Any toy that's not a gun is going to be a disaster in its toy form.
Sure, why the fuck not? And then they make the realization that they're fused, so they're all in one body. I think what it's supposed to be is they're in Keiichiro's body.
Yeah, they're their minds are in his body.
Yeah, so then, it's funny, Tsukasa goes, oh, don't touch me, I'll sue, and then, Sakuya, smells his armpit, and he's like, oh, Keiichiro, you're sweaty, man, and he's just like, what the fuck you say to me? And he's walking forward, pointing his arm out, trying to, scold Sakuya, and I'm like, he's inside.
I actually love that, because, they transform into Hugo and, fire off and fight, and then it's not until after the battle that they realize what's happened, and they just look at themselves.
Nandekore!
What am I? It was like a Day of the Tentacle moment.
But I can't wait to see more Patron Hugo because it's gonna be funny because it's climax form.
Just to address something in the chat, Blaze is saying that the attack was called One Shot Strike. That was the translation for Ichigeki Strike. The one Lane was talking about was the name of the attack when they were using the Mega Bows.
Yeah. It's climax form.
Which is great because I hate that form too.
Oh, I love Deno Climax form. It's a treat.
It actually hurts my eyes.
So then, a weird shot where, the good striker, gets, flies out because, of course, it has a fucking mind of its own or whatever like that.
Yeah.
And, it takes a bit for, Patron Hugo to defuse, so that was kind of weird, but,
right?
I can ignore it. It's fine. I can brush it off.
Yeah.
The Lupins use their doll fighters and, so then we cut to what's Fat Squid Face...
Gosh Lumetta.
Yeah, so, Donya Boon is just, he's like, alright, go...
Go give the young one a second chance.
Yeah, go give him a second chance. He deserved it. He's earned it. And I love her theme. Or, if it's just the villain's theme. Yeah, you just hear, shoo-bee-doo-bee-doo-wah! And, I love that theme song.
We haven't had a
really,
good,
really good theme.
We haven't had a good female villain theme since Candelera.
Love Candelier's theme.
Right?
So glad we got,
three someone, times. And Blaze also mentioned that the name of the Lupin item that Lumetto uses to grow the monsters is called the Grow Caliber, which translates to get big.
What the fuck? Turn me on? Rolling cube?
These are names that a thief gave his magic items. It sounds pretty on point.
Yeah. Lupin has a sense of humor.
But it's really interesting, apparently her safe is, on her back, and she pulls out some other item that she has, which I guess arms her with her normal attacks, and then replaces it with the Grow Caliber.
It's kind actually smart that she has it on her back because, you know...
She's supposed to be hiding it because, like, her front is supposed to be, like, assumedly seductive.
I think Destro has his on his shoulder.
I think so. Yeah. And then Yabun's is, like, right in the chest, but it's, like, hidden under his chains.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so she puts the grow caliber in, which, like, reloads the, like, bullet arms that are hidden all along it.
There's, like, bones inside her, though. That's like...
Bandoliers.
That's a bandolier of, like, a... clip of fucking bullets.
She's made of bullets. And then, like, her arm lights up with this, like, with the green energy, and then
shoots Andy Gross. She just,
like, splurts out this fucking Ivan Ooze shit, like, but it's green.
So I'll let you talk about this Megazord fight more, because this is more Lupin Ranger focused, so...
So the Good Striker promptly announces that he's a free agent, and he doesn't give a fuck about anyone. He'll help who he feels like.
Yeah.
And Kyrie's like, sure, fuck it. Why not?
And we got a new ticket.
Oh, my God.
Like, even someone made, like, a comparison screenshot of, like, Lupin Kaiser cockpit with the Tokyo, and, like, we see, like, ticket in the middle, yeah. Like, where Goody is.
I predicted that 5 seconds before she said it.
Because I'm like, it's like, oh, I'm the Good Striker. I'm like, you're not going to fucking keep calling them
the
Good
Striker.
They're going
to call him Goody or some shit. We'll call you Goody. Damn! I hate being right sometimes.
You know what I kind of hope? I kind of hope that the Power Rangers have a different name for him.
I don't think he's going to interact with them.
I think so.
I doubt it.
I kind of hope so. Like, he has, like, a cop hat.
Oh, my God.
No, because if you look at the Good Striker... One end of it looks like a jet. The other, upside down, it's a police car.
No, it's not upside down. It's when the nose folds up and the wings go up.
Oh, okay, yeah. So it can turn into either a jet or a police car. So I would love that if he just, like, gets, like, a police hat.
We'll see.
And then they call him, like, Strikey. Like,
no, they Strikers. Call him Goody.
No, but I would like the Power Rangers to give him a different name.
Yeah, maybe. So, with a call of Kaito Got Time, which is weird. Like,
that's just them being funny.
Sure.
They're being super punny.
It's minor. I can let it go. So yeah, Kaito Got Time. And for the first time in a long time, the cockpits not only relocate, but actually transform when they switch to the Megazord. Because they, like, pull everything back and
yeah,
it,
like,
opens up.
Seeing Lupin Yellow kind of just, like, struggle with her. It's just like, what the duh? I love her reactions. Her reactions are just, like, so cute.
And I love that the Good Striker, like, puts out holograms, like, here's where this one goes, and here's where these one go.
Yep.
And then we get Lupin Kaiser.
Lupin Kaiser!
Who literally dials his own face into place.
Yeah, and, like, I like this cool shot where, like, we see, like, from behind them in the cockpit, and then we see, like, they can see outside, and then it, like, rolls
and
over.
The
and then
screen
like,
slash face slides into place.
Yeah, I like that.
It's interesting.
Oh
my God, he does get a cop hat!
No, I think that's photoshopped.
I don't know, it doesn't look photoshopped.
Oh, if that actually is... Fucking, I called it.
Was that in the opening and I just completely missed it?
Maybe.
Jesus Christ.
You know, I'll put on the opening, but, like, I'll mute it, but... Yeah. Oh my God, yeah! I was right!
Damn it!
Sweet! I hope they give him a different name. That'd be amazing. We'll call you Streaky.
So, yes, Lupin Kaiser happens, and it's awesome. He's got so many hats! He's got hats on his shoulders!
I like these fucking Sots.
Oh, it's good.
That was
badass. We have our Megazord dodge rolling, hiding behind buildings, flying around, throwing his fucking saw blade. Oh, it's good. And then the Hisatsu is a giant hologram versus changer.
Yep.
Just rapid firing and just unloading death from above.
Yep. That's confirmed. He switches hats.
Wow.
That's amazing! Yay!
The funny thing is, he's still got the, like, evil-looking bat wings in the police form.
Hey, that's fine, but I love that. He switches hats. Oh, that's so cool. Good.
God damn it.
Goody. Oh. Yeah, he just opens a giant fucking hologram VS changer, and I was like, I hope the fucking Power Rangers fucking, like, step that up.
Right?
Like,
But yeah, with Paddock either. Over the course of this fight, everyone has been talking about how the Lupin Rangers and Garado caused so much damage to the city. And it's right. There's so many destroyed buildings and shattered glass.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing how Pato Kaiser tries to avoid that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're going to try to.
And then there was something that we wanted to mention last week, but we forgot. There are lots of shots of the Lupin Rangers twirling their guns in their finger.
Yeah! So, like, unless you have, like, a trigger machine in the versus changer, the thing, the VS changer doesn't have, like, a trigger guard, so you can't, like, spin it around your finger. So, I don't know.
Bullshit!
How the fuck they do that? Cause so that's magic.
Because we're magic thieves, I don't fucking know.
I don't even kind of, like, I'll probably will try it once with, when I get my VS changer, like, with the trigger machine in it. But, like, I'll probably
make sure you're
once.
Over something soft.
Yeah, my bad, probably. But, yeah, so...
The Patos decide, they killed the monster, we'll let them have that.
Yeah.
So we can already see the seeds of tolerance and cooperation settling within them. That's a lot of damage!
So then, yeah, they go back to the bistro, whatever, Lupin Rangers, and then they're like, let's call you Goody.
And then the Pouch Rangers just show up.
And, like, it ends with just kind of, like,
them
don't...
staring at each other?
Yeah, like, we don't know, but I think the joke is just gonna be, like...
They're just here to relax.
We've heard this is a really good eating establishment. We've come to eat here.
You know, despite the fact that you kicked out all your customers last week. I guess no one left a negative Yelp review that day. Or maybe they left a good review because they gave them free shit on the way out.
And I love it, like, they see them, they're like, oh, look!
Shit, hide the car in the soup!
They like, hide Goody in a pot. But, like, Kyrie's just like, does he recognize me?
Which is, you know what I think's gonna happen? Mm-hmm. Because Kyrie and Keiichiro have, like, talked at least once or twice, I think that what's gonna happen is over the course of the series, they're gonna, like, develop a quote-unquote friendship. Like, Keiichiro will just come to the cafe to relax, and Kyrie will be, like, serving him food and talking to him. And then there'll be, like, the ultimate payback and backstab during the one episode, probably halfway through the series, where he reveals that he's Lupin Red. Like, my most trusted friend, how could you?
No, I feel like in episode 3, like, if they leave the cafe, just, like, Kyrie's gonna go, adieu, and then, like, Keiichiro's like...
I think they might do that, and Keiichiro might, like, pick up on it, but decide it's not enough evidence.
He's like, nah, that's a coincidence.
Are we gonna get a whole thing with Hikawa and Agito, where, like, it's obvious that he's Lupin Red, but he doesn't clue in on it?
So what do you think about Shoichi? Why are we talking about Shoichi? We're talking about Agito here!
You fucking dense bitch.
Oh my god, you dumb motherfucker.
I'm looking forward to seeing how this happens. I really want it to go the way where they become best friends at the cafe, but Kyrie's, like, secretly laughing at him. And then he just like, haha, it was me all along. No!
Onore Kaito!
I would love them to do that.
No, that'd be funny. But yeah, and so next week it's like more of a Toma-focused episode, and we get introduced to Pato Kaiser, and I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Hooray!
Yeah. So, 2 episodes in, still very impressive. I like it too. Like I said, I love the Pato Rangers. I'm just... fully committed to them.
And I'm fully committed to the Lupins.
There you go. Alright, on to our featured topic.
Featured topic.
So, for the final week in Precure, we will be talking about Hugto Precure, so the newest Precure series.
As of this recording, there were 3 episodes out, but we decided to just do the 2 of them.
Yeah. So, we'll probably go by very quickly, because, like, other than the first episode, the second episode didn't really have much going for it. It was actually kind of really boring, in my personal opinion, so...
And unfortunately, we don't have a Dreamcaster here to provide proper context, but we're just going to talk about our thoughts on it.
Yeah. So, from the 2 episodes that I saw, it was...
That we saw?
Yeah, that we saw, sorry. It's cute! Like, I like Curiel. Like, I liked her cut bangs.
Right? She looks so much cuter, like, with the full hair.
Yeah, and, like, because...
She was trying to look more adult, and I think that
So, we get Nonohana, who's the main character, Curiel, and, like, her thing is, like, oh, I want to be, like, an adult-like lady, and, like...
In a very non-specific...
So she, like, apparently spent all year growing her bangs out so she could cut them off.
I guess.
To be adult, and then she cut them too much, and they looked awful, and...
Like, the second I saw her with the scissors, I'm like, oh, she's gonna botch it, isn't she?
Yeah, and then, like, her little sister makes fun of her for it, and... Just, like, whatever.
Over the course of the episodes, we discover that she has a catchphrase, which is in the form of her cheering for herself. And I gotta say, that got tiresome really fast.
A little bit, yeah. I liked when she did other cheers. So she did, like, a cheer for her mom, whatever, like, going, like, good luck on your job today.
I love it. Now that we're talking about Precure, half our audience is gone.
Well, shit. At least the dedicated ones are here. So thank Yay. You. Thank you, Blaze and Facecore. Chew.
And Foxy.
Thank you, Foxy. We love you, Foxy.
So
Foxy's like, ugh!
So, the opening plays, and of course it spoils the fact that there are two other Precures, but everyone who pays attention, we knew that already.
Yep.
I don't know, what can we really say about the opening? It's an opening.
I like the song. Not as much as the first one.
Right?
Like, Futari Precure. That was the addictive opening. Heartcatch was also fucking addictive opening.
Absolutely.
Oh, is that going to be our thumbnail for this week?
No.
Just Harry here?
No.
He's holding a Burpee's change. Wait, okay, click on the thumbnail. We got to look at this. Okay, so we got...
Oh, he's got different belts.
So we got Harry. So, yeah, you know what? This thumbnail, we're going to use this. So it's Harry Ham, the mascot of... Well, like, one of the mascots. Just him with a VS Changer and the Good Striker, a Splash Driver with a Crocodile Croc Bottle, a Dragon Splash Jelly, the Ichigo Trigger Machine, Robot Splash Jelly, the Red Dial Fighter, and then the Build Driver with Rabbit Tank.
You're using, like, the first ever Cast Ranger logo, so it's a bit outdated, but I'll update it.
Hey, that's awesome. This is a perfect thumbnail, and I think...
All right, I'll use it.
Yeah, Emily's gonna love it too, so... Woohoo.
So, there's this one shot during the opening that I thought was funny where, like, the baby Hugtan is, like, lying down and just, like, fucking yanks the hamster next to it into its claws.
And then there's, like, a shot where, like, Kuri Twal, like, the yellow-haired one, like, she's, like, a figure skater, I guess, and she does, like a twirl, and she's looking, like, super serious, like, staring off.
Yeah, like, she's in the middle of doing, like, a spin,
like,
and she's, like,
cow or something,
looking right at the camera, like, are you fucking seeing this shit? I'm amazing!
I skate as fuck.
I better win the gold, or I will... not defend you against evil.
It's funny because the Winter Olympics are going on too. So
yeah.
They're almost done, actually.
I feel like that might be why this series tends to have a focus on not only careers, but they seem to be sport focused in a way.
I mean, Kiran's just supposed to be a nurse, so
I think yeah.
And Etoile is supposed to be a flight attendant.
Yeah.
So,
but there is like mention of sport related careers, particularly Kuriel, who's a cheerleader.
Yeah. And then we get introduced to Kirange, who's, her name is Saya.
Yakushiki Saya.
And she's cute. I like when she wears her glasses.
She's the smart blue-haired secondary character
and
that we've,
like,
seen a bunch
of. Yeah,
before.
And, like, Hana, or whatever, like, that is late because she, like, helps an old woman and, like, time stops because Hogtan's, like, stops
breaking
time.
Through the dimension.
Yeah, and then, like... A baseball hits her in the head, and she's like, super shock. Like, that's her thing she says.
When the time slowed down, we were all like, pause.
Yeah. And then she gets late because she was helping an old lady, like, carry her groceries home. And then, like, they're all, like, all the classmates are like, oh, we love your enthusiasm, and hey, you're funny, and...
Yeah, she's so late that when she comes into the class, she, like, dives and takes a spill right in the middle of everyone. But she immediately gets up, back up, and I'm like, that didn't happen! Hi, I'm Nono Hana. I want to be a Pokemon Master!
Woo! So then, like, she gets sent to, like, the teacher's office because, like, the teacher was like, oh, well, it's nice to meet you, but, like, you really shouldn't be late.
Probably didn't get in trouble because she probably explained that she was helping an old lady.
Mm-hmm.
If this were an older show like Yu-Gi-Oh! GX, I was fully expecting that lady to be, like, the principal of the school.
Yeah.
Because, like, GX did that where, like, Jaden saved a woman whose truck was bad and then it turned out to be the owner of the card shop.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And then, like,
like, later on, like, she hears Hugtan, like, crying in the sky in the distance or whatever like that, and then, like,
she goes
out to, like, the rooftop, and then there's Kirange and Kiritual, and, like, they're there as well, and it's like, oh, did you hear baby just now? And, like, yeah. And then just, like, it's funny, like, we cut to, like, Kiriel, like, in her room, and she's like, oh, I'm, you know, I'm gonna fulfill my destiny and stuff like that. Even if, like, something, like, flies at me from the sky, I don't give a shit. And then, lo and behold, Hugtan launches...
Meteors down from the sky!
The moon. Like, she looks like she came from the moon.
It's the moon, princess!
And so, yeah, we get Hugtan, and who's, like, the mascot for the series.
Here's the thing, though. Hmm? Like, she comes up with the name Hugtan on her own, but then, like, when they're talking to the hamster, like, he also calls her Hugtan, so now I'm wondering if he just accepted the name as she came up with it, or if that actually was the name, and he was like, and, like, she just guessed it perfectly.
I believe it. But yes, then we also get introduced to Harry Ham, or Harry.
A.K.A. Tracer the Ham Taro O.C.
Yeah, and in episode 2, he, like, transforms into this, like, beautiful, sexy man.
Well, sexy is a subjective thing, but he actually says, Ikemen change, which means handsome men change.
Yeah, so he transforms into a handsome dude with red hair, and he has, like a handsome voice on him, and...
And that's the closest to a male preacher we'll ever get.
I guess so. But, it, like, that then it just dives into the question... So is he a human that turns into a hamster, or a hamster that turns into a human?
Right? I hope we get that addressed.
I think it's the hamster turns into a human. So, and then it's, like, weird. Like, at some point in episode 2, whatever like that, he, like, Saya kind of, like, is figuring out what's going on, but then, like, because, like, about Hugtan or whatever like that, but then, like, Harry's, like, hiding himself, and I'm like, why don't you just turn into a human?
You can either turn into a human, or maybe reveal yourself since you're just about to hire her as a pre-kid.
Yeah, because, like, yeah, they both are like, oh my god, she's perfect for a pre-kid. I'm like, then fucking reveal yourself! Like, Jesus fucking Christ.
And we also, at certain points, meet the girl who will become the third pre-kid later, Kagayaki Homare, or as I like to call it, Discount Chie.
Sure. No one compares to my game waifu.
And we also get to meet the villains of this series.
The Dark Times Corporation. So the villains are, like, in the theme of, like, a capitalist corporation.
They're all very shadowy. And they're,
like, they're all stuck in, like, a branch, and they all have, like,
they
desks.
Actually say, like, unless we accomplish our goals, we'll be stuck in this branch forever.
And then, like, their boss is, like, in the, like, very top of the building. He's, like, this...
It's fucking Beast Form Haseo from .hack.gu!
This is a Haseo-looking motherfucker, and then, like, they make, like, one of the generals is just like, okay, I'll go and do shit, here's my form, like, I need it approved, and then just, like, the boss just goes, like, and, like, sends down, like, his tongue that's, like, a giant stamp, and just stamp of approvals the form, and then lets him, like...
The evil stamp of approval!
Yeah, and then just he, like, lets the general go on his mission because he's, like, approved. And it's just really weird, and, like...
It's so bizarre, but I loved it.
And he has, like, a detector thing that, like, looks for, like, I guess, like, frustration and, like, anger in, like, human beings. And, like, this one student's, like, pissed off that his teacher's, like, forcing him to, like, hand in his assignment, so he gets pissed off about that, and the guy's like, ooh, perfect, I'll summon, make a monster out of you.
So apparently they are feeding off of what they're referring to as toge power.
And then the precursors have more power.
What they say is asu powawa.
Yeah,
because asu means, like, tomorrow.
Okay.
So that's what the sub translates to, moro powawa.
Yeah.
It's really fucking stupid.
Aspawa. I actually liked hearing that, though.
Which is funny, because if you think about it, you just call it Aspawa.
Aspawa.
So the general that we're dealing with now is who I'm referring to as Very Tanned Jedite.
Yeah.
Very Tanned Jedite.
He kind of reminded me, like... Honestly, he reminded me of, like, a mixture between Haseo and Hope from Final Fantasy XIII.
I don't know.
He kind of dressed like him.
A little bit.
Just like Hope a little bit.
A little bit.
Might have just been the hair.
Yeah.
And so then, like, Hugtan, like, adorable as fuck little baby, and it's so cute, and, like, Harry... Well,
the weird part is, like, Hugtan, like, flies down from the moon, and, like, Nana is hugging it, and then, like, the camera angle where Harry Ham just, like, walks out, it almost posits that he just, like, magically walked out of the baby's ass. It was so weird.
Shit on a hamster!
Oh, God, the implications. like, you see her holding the baby, and then the hamster just walks out onto the rest of the terrace. I'm just like, where did you come from?
Like, it made me realize, I'm like, oh my god, the main character wants to be, like, as adult as possible. And I'm like, what better way to show that than taking care of a baby?
Which I think is kind of a really not progressive message to put forth.
She's 13, and she's, like, taking care of this baby.
Like, hooray for unwed teenage mother!
Oh, God.
Not the kind of idea I think we should be promoting to little girls!
Go have babies, kids!
Take care of moon babies!
Moon babies. So then, like, yeah, like, Hugtan tries to go attack, like, the monster.
Oh, I love this. So apparently this
Oshimanda!
The name of the shadow monsters of this season are the Oshimiders, which Oshimai translates to, like, you're finished, or this is the end. So the subs we were watching translates them to the ender.
The end!
The end! And it's, the one in episode one is very much so the Castle Smash's final evolution.
And then episode two was, like, this, like, kind of bodybuilding one with, like, attacked with, like, a giant girder.
It didn't have a girder. Hana threw a girder at it. It had big robot arms.
Oh, okay. I thought it had the girder.
No, Hana picked up the girder and strike rated it at it.
Oh, okay.
That was cool.
Yeah. So then Hana, is like, oh, I must do shit, and, like, you know, does, like, the typical, like, I guess, like, Precure kind of stuff where, like, you know, messages and stuff like that, and, like, lines, and then she...
And what we have here is, yet in fact, the greatest hero in the universe is motivated by a crying child!
Yep. And then she gets, like, her future crystal, and then, like... Which apparently...
They look so much like the silver crystal compacts from Sailor Moon.
Later on, Hugtan, like, eats it with a spoon.
Literally spoon-feed magic to the baby.
Yeah, these future crystals to the baby. And then they, like, use the... I think it's called, like, the pre-heart or something like
Yeah,
that.
The pre-heart, the pre-cure heart or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, pre-cure heart. And then
it turns into what looks like a cell phone, but then it
flips into a heart.
Folds up, and I'm like, oh, it's a heart.
I'm like, that's cool. The transformation felt very Sailor Moon-ish.
Although,
like this one.
Although I do feel that they had to, like, tap the thing and go, hug you! At least three times during the henshin. I think that was a little weird.
Yeah, they were hugging it. Keeping it close to their heart.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because, like, that's what you kind of do when you hug a human being. Like, you're hugging them, like, you're close to their heart.
You tap their screens three times.
Just stop tapping my chest. Ow. My heart. So she transforms into Curiel and, like...
Proceeds to fucking dummy the monster!
Yeah, and also we didn't get her, like, jumping really high and her going, how am I jumping so high? She kind of just was, like...
Yeah, I got
kind
this.
Kind of getting into it of just like, no, this is, I'm doing this. I'm
yeah, I got this.
And like, so, you know what? You could say she was being like grown up about it.
Oh, grown up with you.
I love that show. And like, her design's cool. I think her hair, and this is going to sound surprising, especially coming from me, her hair was a bit too pink. Like, her hair's pink enough already, like, in her normal form. But her hair as a Precure? Way too pink! Like, I think all three Precures in Hugto, their hair is just, like, too much.
Honestly, when they transform, they look like they age 10 years.
I think that's the thing, too, because, like...
they want to be adults.
Because they want to be adults, so, like, that's why they have, like, adult careers. Because, you know, cheerleaders, that's what adults strive to be, and then nurses, and
just, like,
flight attendants.
They just, like, transform. Ah, shit, now I'm 25.
Oh, shit. yeah, and then she's just, like, kind of accepts that she's a Precure, and then, like, they talk about her, like, at school or whatever like that, and then she kind of goes up to a bunch of students in episode two, she's like, thank you! And then, like, cuts back to just a flashback of Harry just going, don't fucking say you're a Precure! And then she kind of, like, saves herself with it by going,
is what I would say if that were me, but it's not, but I appreciate your comments anyways, because it totally is not me! Great fucking job.
They're like, whoa! And, yeah, so, like, this episode was okay. Like, I kind of almost fell asleep a little bit. Because it just, like, they just, I don't know. They were trying to get to know each other. Like, it was pretty much just, like, a bonding episode between Sai and Hana. And I just, like, kind of didn't care enough.
The one thing that we see about Yakushiji during episode two is apparently her thing is whenever they're, like, doing a thing as civilians, she'll just like pull out her laptop and Google it.
Which, like,
your face looks like a bird. Hold on a second. Beep, beep, like, boop, a this bird. One.
Yeah, and like she has like some kind of like hug Google. Like it said like hug on the like the search bar name. Yeah, I think it was Huggle.
Which is funny because we made that Hoogle joke in Extra a few weeks ago.
Oh god. Yeah, and then like every time someone like calls her like really cute and smart and like kind of like. Kind of like flatters her. She gets like really embarrassed. She's like, "No, not that cute."
Yeah, but like they're like changing Hugtan's diaper and like feeding her milk. And Yakushiji actually Googles milk, how to prepare
like,
milk.
Yeah, because like Harry Ham knows how to do it, but like he couldn't reveal himself for some reason.
What's really weird is like she walks in on Hana and the baby, and she's like completely unsurprised.
It's like, oh, you're an underage mother.
Yeah, you seem the type.
And yeah, when she experienced the time freeze, she was like talking to like the homeroom teacher about like, oh, we're getting this transfer student, and they had like a picture of her
after her haircut.
After her haircut, and I was
she
like,
cut her hair that morning. How do you have that photo?
How do you have that photo? Like that was kind of inaccurate. So that was weird. And then yeah, oh, also like Harry Ham kind of like pulls the fucking house out of his like magical suitcase and like.
And then it just like
grows. Yeah. Like, near the street, he's like, perfect! This is where I'll hang out!
And they set up a house under the big tree.
Under the umbrella tree.
Under the umbrella tree.
Yeah, and then, like...
Are we just gonna call that the hug pit?
Yes. I'm calling it the hug pit. No, I'm sorry, but, like, thank you, Drive Pit, for, like, establishing the permanent name for, like, every...
Just
base.
Like, just like how the DECA driver established that every belt is now the driver. Although Fize did it first.
Yeah. What's it called? I thought it was called the Fize Gear.
The Fize Gear is the name of the entire set.
Oh, okay.
Actually, no. I think Fize Gear is the name... No. The gear is the whole set, the driver is the belt, and the phone is just called the Fize Phone.
Okay.
If I'm remembering right.
And then, yeah, so, like, they start fighting the Ender or whatever like that, and then
which is the robot for that the thing that has robot arms.
I liked this one.
It honestly reminded me of Exade Level 3, because it had robot arms and it had, like, that punky hair.
I liked this design, though. It was cool.
And, like, Hugtown, like, cries and, like, waggles his arms at it, and I'm like, aw, that's cute! She wants robot arms!
She wants
arms.
To die.
Oh, God.
And then, so yeah, then, like, Daya gets the call or whatever like that, and then she becomes Kirange, and she just immediately fucking goes to her Hisatsu, like, without fucking hesitation.
Heart Feather, like, which is a... Well, it's not her Hisatsu, it's... well, her Hisatsu is apparently, like, a support move, because it just, like, summons his energy shield called Heart Feather, apparently.
Oh, yeah, and then...
It's like,
and then...
Hooray, thanks for debuting! We'll let the main character finish the monster off
then,
now,
and then,
thanks!
And then Kiriel's Hisatsu is literally, HEART ATTACK! With a hug!
It's a moon spiral heart attack that then lifts the monster into the sky and gives it the good feels. It actually
is Monster
Monster
attack.
And then,
like,
it goes away,
and then you see, like, the monster, like, the Ender just going, like, ah, oh, I'm so loved. And then, like, you see the general just going, like, ugh. It, like, it loves now. Ugh. And then, yeah, and that's it. And then next week, episode, apparently, it's, like, Hugtan's day out or something. So.
Next week's episode is Baby's Day Out.
It's been years since I've seen that movie.
I have not.
It's literally about a baby that runs away.
Right? I'm like, I can guess everything that happens.
Yeah. So overall, from like the first two episodes, it's cool.
Episode 2 was kind of slow and dry.
So, I don't know.
The ending. Way more of, like, a rock music than any other things we've
It was literally just, like, we're spouting off careers that you'll never be able to achieve! Yay!
Here's other things that you can't be.
Pop star! Architect! It's illustrator! Designer!
Idol!
Yeah, idol, like, aww.
Nurse!
Yeah, and it was, like, another 3D one, so it was cool. As I said, I'm gonna keep watching this, because, like, I'm watching it with my girlfriend, so, like, I gotta watch episode 3 and then episode 4.
Hooray for enablers!
Yay.
I won't.
I know you won't. But yeah, so that thus concludes Precurary, so, what was your favorite thing out of the whole month of Precure stuff we watched?
Honestly, I think Heartcatch I liked a lot.
Me, personally, the movie.
It was interesting, but I feel like I can't properly enjoy it without having seen all of the shows.
But yes, if one thing about the Hard Catch I loved was fucking Master Coop. Hashtag more Master Coop.
I just liked the glasses-wearing, cheery main girl.
Yes, and you liked Erica.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she was great, too.
Yeah, you loved Erica.
I'm bad at remembering things.
Me, I got introduced to Cure Peace, and Cure Peace is fucking adorable as shit.
I agree completely. But yeah, this was a fun experiment. I don't regret doing this at all. I think it was fun, and I hope Emily enjoyed her parts on the first three, and hopefully our opinions on this week's aren't upsetting.
Yeah, so, I love the concept of Precure. I think it is, as I've said, like, countless times before on the show, I consider this to be a tokusatsu show. It's toku for girls in a way girls can enjoy it. It's cutesy, the main cast is all female, and it's an anime. That's a way to suck girls into toku. Even though there are female fans of Rider and Sentai, no question about that.
I was going to say, like, maybe don't make such sexist assumptions.
No, I wasn't. I meant more so for the younger side, probably.
It definitely absolutely feels targeted towards younger viewers.
Yeah, but I consider Precure series to be a toku, so hands down.
I mean, by definition, it isn't, because it's tokusatsu is live-action special effects, but spiritually, I can consider it included.
Yeah.
It does air in the same time block, generally.
I mean, it does look very flashy with its effects, so... yeah, so that's... Next week, I actually don't know what we're doing next week for future topics, so...
Well,
it's a surprise.
Only our Patreons get to know.
Yup.
Patrons on Patreon.
Yeah.
But yeah, next week, we will be... picking up, playing catch up with feature topics that have come out in the last couple months.
Let's have fun with that. And
hopefully we'll have more than two people here next week.
Yeah, but I think this is a really good episode, because you and I...
It was a nice departure.
We can talk about fucking Rider and Sentai for hours, like, you and I. We do occasionally.
I was about to say, we pretty much do.
Yeah, so... thank you for listening, watching, loving...
Favoriting, subscribing, sharing...
We love you all in the chat, and, you know, make sure to join us live on Discord every Friday.
Yeah, usually at 9, 10 o'clock, but we started early this week because we didn't have to wait for anyone!
Yeah. Gar! Oh, we love you, Gar.
Raven!
Emily, we love you. No pressure.
Yeah.
So follow us on Twitter, Podbean, Patreon, give me money, hashtag Japan to Dan.
Me need money. Money me now. Money needing lots of it, please.
Hashtag Japan to Dan.
yeah, castranger.podbean.com is the primary source of our hijinks. Find everything from there. Buy a shirt. Do it.
Goodbye!
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger is brought to you by our generous patrons, Oliver Nilsson, and viewers like you.